today I have Debbie Bird with me. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Vanessa. Thank you so much for inviting me, and I'm so excited to join. This is wonderful. It's my first podcast.
That is so awesome. I was just so excited to see you. I know you couldn't hear me initially, but I was like, Debbie, it's, you know.
And it wasn't you, it was me.
No, that, it's fine. But I was just so excited to see you. It's been probably, I don't know, 2+ years since we've seen each other.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. And I've known you for such a long time, and It's just like seeing a familiar face, you know?
It's nice, especially, isn't it?
yeah, especially when we're sort of like on lockdown still in some ways, of course. So yeah, I'm so happy that you accepted, you know, and decided to join my podcast. So why don't we go ahead and start off? Why don't you tell the listeners and the viewers a little bit about yourself?
Well, you know, we all know I'm Debbie Bird, and I have a lot to tell about myself. So to keep it, you know, very short, because I know that there's a lot that we'll be talking about this afternoon. Well, you know, I was born and raised in Germany, and my dad was in the Army, and we moved to the United States, and we ended up in Pensacola, Florida when I was 12, and I lived there for 15 years and then moved to Atlanta in 1990. I have a beautiful daughter. She's 40 years old. She's married to a wonderful man, and I have two great, gorgeous granddaughters, age 6 and 14, and I'm married to a wonderful man named Tom. We live in Canton, Georgia. I used to work for Marriott for 28 years. And before that, I was in hospitality again for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I've been retired for a year now, and my life is just completely full, and I'm at peace.
That's so awesome. There you have it. That's awesome. That's like a very short synopsis of your life. Yeah. So Debbie and I met, I always have to think, I was a resident in GM. We met in 2008.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
During 2 week.
Connect you.
2 week fundamentals class.
Yeah. In Alpharetta, right? Mm-hmm. Is that where it was held?
Were you residents in?
No, oh, Kennesaw. Was it Kennesaw? Yes, I was in Kennesaw.
It was
right.
In Kennesaw.
Because I remember trying like Zaxby's for the first time coming to the Connect You fundamentals class. Because I think it sat right across, right?
It was right across the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do remember that. And that's where I fell in love with like Zaxby's chicken and salads and stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. that was a great time. So, our choice of drink today is Tazo Zen Tea.
Yes.
And I am really not familiar, you know, with being with the Courtyard brand, sold tons of it, but I never really tried much of it myself. So why do you like it so much?
Oh, I know a lot about it. I actually read up on it. So the Tazo Zen Tea, I only drink one cup of coffee a day now. Because there's so much caffeine in it, but I like the Starbucks coffee, and that's what I normally drink once a day. But I've been cutting back on the caffeine intake. But the Tazo Zen Tea, it has a level 3 caffeine, which is tolerable. The tea provides like a sufficient amount of amino acid and caffeine, which are powerful in lifting your mood. It lifts your spirits in a natural way, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't only improve your mood. But the green tea with the other herbal ingredients, it's able to improve brain function. And at my age, you know, I need more of this. And it's not because I have a lot to think about. It's because I want a lot to think about.
Of course.
So it's good for you. And it's all natural. So it really works deep inside you. I like it. I like it a lot. And I only drink the hot tea. Now you've given me... the iced tea, which I'm gonna try.
Yeah, you may need to add some sweetener. I did not know if
I don't put any sugar in my teas, only in my coffee. I just use creamer.
But
this is great.
Is it good?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I didn't even order it like that to begin with, But while I was getting ready, I ordered you hot tea. And so while I was getting ready, I missed a couple of text messages from the Dasher. Mm-hmm. And she told me that they only had iced tea. But by the time I even saw the message, she was already at your door delivering. I just thought that they mm-hmm. were really great. They arrived much sooner than they were supposed to. But it was just, you know, right on time. So I was really excited because I was kind of nervous that it may be a few minutes late.
Yeah. Well, what I was expecting was a box of Zen tea.
I know.
I thought, well, let me make my own just in case. Yeah. And, you know, and I'll bring the bag up just to show Vanessa. But no, it's really great stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't tried it, if you like hot tea, I mean, it's better hot.
Yeah, I do like hot tea.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about the Zen tea is that you want your water to reach 185 degrees or better before you pour it into your cup with your tea bag. Because what happens is that 185 degrees or better, mm-hmm. it releases these certain ingredients, okay? And it makes them work. In other words, these molecules start to expand and release all of these different things that are healthy for you. And it's got to be at that temperature. So that was pretty cool when I read up on it.
Yeah. I'm learning a lot of great things by hosting like this Benissa's Cafe podcast. Because I do like some of the research and I'm like, oh, wow, I had no idea. You know, we just sometimes, you know, we just drink certain things and we have no idea
what's in it,
who invented it or what's mm-hmm. in it. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's been a pretty cool part of, you know, doing the show. So you mentioned earlier that you recently celebrated 1 year, your 1 year anniversary of being retired. Mm-hmm. How do you feel?
Oh, you know, every day is a new day filled with possibilities. I love being retired. And the good thing about it is that I do what I want, when I want, and how I want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many people can say that, right?
Right.
And after working for 45 years, I mean, I was 16, you know, when I started working a real job, you know, being retired is refreshing. It's really good. I love it.
Yeah. You know, when your retirement announcement came out, or, you know, when I received the email, I was still in Los Angeles at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was like, Debbie's retiring. She's too young to retire. I'm like, what is going on? Why is she retiring?
Well, you know, with COVID and the whole experience last year, it was a good opportunity. It was a good time for me to take what Marriott had offered.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it was a good thing.
Yeah. I completely understand. I think a lot of people actually took that opportunity to just go ahead and retire. I remember one of the, you know, general managers that was in my region in LA, he ended up also, you know, taking a retirement. I don't know if it was early or not, but I believe he moved like all the way to Virginia and bought a house there with his son and just, you know, is enjoying his retirement. So I think that it really allowed a lot of people to kind of make that decision somewhat, you know, some early, some just right on time. But I love hearing, you know, about just what you've been up to since I haven't spoken with you in so long.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you miss most about not being in your previous occupation?
Well, you know, the last 15 years of my 28-year career with Marriott, I facilitated the required training courses. And the thing that I probably miss the most are the people.
Mm-hmm.
I've met so many wonderful managers along the way, including you. And look where we've come. I mean, we're still good friends, right?
Right.
And that's what I have. I have so many wonderful friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I met so many wonderful people along the way. And the team that I was on was amazing. And there's a few of them that I still keep in touch with on a regular basis. And on Facebook, you know, the majority of them I still, you know, keep in touch with. But, you know, I don't miss the travel. I did so much of that I'm cool with staying home right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
But I do miss the places that I've been. So, you know, meeting up with my team, facilitating classes, and then afterwards we would have dinner. We would mm-hmm. go see the sights. I mean, those are the things that I miss because I've got so many fond memories of it. And you know, and then while teaching classes, I did meet great managers who had so much potential, and I really miss being a part of their lives and helping them succeed, you know, because I was a huge part of that.
Yeah, you definitely were. I think that you really helped get, you know, whether they were a new manager or someone recertifying. I think that you just like really, you know, you lived the culture and you re-energized or energized anyone that came through your class. Like, I would just remember my first class with you. I was just so excited about like living and breathing the brand and the company. And I'm still so passionate about it, you know, after all these years. And I, you know, although I no longer work, you know, for Marriott or am in the hospitality industry, I still am like the biggest fan of Marriott and its brands and its culture and the people. And so, you know, when I see somebody like you, it's almost like seeing a family member and not someone that, you know, I used to, whose classes I used to attend or whom I worked with, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. You know, Residence Inn was my first brand. And in 1987 in Pensacola, Florida, I started working there as an executive housekeeper. And 3 years later, I moved to Atlanta and worked at the Cumberland Residence Inn, and I was there for 4 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, after 7 years with the company, I did leave for five, but I came back1998, I came back. And from then on, I stayed, you know, with the company. But something about that brand, because of the culture and the energy, being around those, being around guests who've been there for so long, they just tend to be family. And so do the managers. So do the people that you work with. So you're right.
Oh, yeah.
It's just heartwarming. Great brand.
Yeah, I agree. I cannot wait to talk about the background. It's just, I just love your entire setup, and it's just like,
oh, you like it?
So refreshing. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. So did the pandemic, you kind of answered this question. I'm just still going to ask it.
I did. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did the pandemic impact your decision on retiring last year?
Absolutely. It did. But I was prepared. Mm-hmm. So on April 4th, my team and I got the news that we were all going to be furloughed. And from that moment on, I made a plan and decided that I was going to retire. I knew that the majority of us would not be coming back to work. Just call it instinct or common sense, but this is how I was able to manage my future. So I took Marriott's offer in July, and I retired on August 15th of 2020. And it was the best decision that I could have ever made because, you know, I mean, I'm in a good place right now. I'm happy. And everything worked out for me because I was prepared. I was realistic, you know?
Yeah. And
a lot of people who were in my situation, they were angry. They were bitter. You know, they felt like it was unfair. But you can't live in the past, right, Vanessa?
Right.
You have to move forward and look into the future.
Correct.
There's a reason for everything. And if that door of opportunity opens, it's your choice whether or not you're going to walk through it or whether you're going to close it in front of you. And I walked through it. And it was the best decision I ever made.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that, you know, and my first thought when everything was happening was like, oh my God, thank God I never went. I actually was looking to go for like an
area director or something,
like an area sales leader position.
Yeah.
And so I was like, thank God I did not go for a remote position because I knew, you know, even during the recession, the first, you know, positions to be cut were all regional positions, you know,
and training.
Yeah. So it's like you said, it's like common sense or just being realistic. So yeah, I completely, you know, I agree with you. I saw a lot of that bitterness too, you know, I mean, what do you do? I think all companies were in a really, really tough situation, right? And they just had to choose how to continue their business and allow their business to survive. And look how, you know, crazy. I remember everyone talking about June, this will be over in June. Initially, you know, back in March. And then June came around and we were like, okay, why are we still in this predicament? You know, it was like,
it was never going to go away. Okay.
No. Right. Right. So yeah. So I understand. It was like being realistic and understanding it, and then, and actually setting a plan. Okay. What am I going to do next? How are you going to, you know, what are you going to do? So what advice can you give others that are contemplating on retiring or planning retirement?
Well, one of the big things, you need to save your money. All right. And purchase with purpose. This is something that I've been living by for the last year. My husband, he's been helping me do this. Become a minimalist. Think twice before you buy something. If you're familiar with Susie Orman, you should watch her videos. She's wonderful. She's a great financial advisor, and she makes her point very clear on how to manage and save your money for the future. You know, enroll in a 401k. So, you know, I mean, life goes by very fast, and before you know it, you know, you can have a nice nest egg. Another thing to plan on retirement is technically clean up your house and your life. Okay, because when you retire, you think, oh, well, I can, you know, I can do all this when I retire. No, when you retire, you want to do the things that you love. So get rid of those things that don't mean anything to you. Things that don't have purpose, that only clutter your mind and home. Purge and minimize the amount of stuff that you have. Don't buy anything unless it serves a purpose. Now, if you follow this advice, your life is going to be cleaner, happier, and you're going to be at peace by the time you do retire. And once you retire, you'll be able to spend that time doing the things that you love. And you won't be worried financially. Your home and life will be clutter-free. And that's what I've been working on. I've been purging like you would not believe.
Hey, that's keeping you busy too, right?
It does at the same time. You know, Goodwill sees me all the time. You know? Well,
and it's a tax write-off.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, planning for the future, you know, we go shopping. Like, you know, I there was a time when, you know, like I would just buy something because it was just, I don't know.
On sale.
It was on sale or whatever. I'm like, oh yeah, I need that. Or I could have this. And then, you know what? It ends up in my closet and I don't ever wear it. What's the point?
Right.
To really think through. You know, the choices that you make.
Yeah.
They will help you with retirement in the future.
Yeah. I think that I've learned that too over the last, you know, 4 or 5 months. And kind of better late than never, right?
What I said.
But I've always been very like, I don't like a lot of stuff in my home, and moving so many times throughout my career really helped me purge throughout, because I always took that as an opportunity.
Funny that you said that. I was thinking about you earlier, and I was thinking, I bet you she's purged so much because every time she moves, she ends up getting rid of stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And moving does help. I moved 27 times in my life.
I was counting, you know, since I've moved to the States, I think I've moved like 20 times, something like close to that, or maybe over. Yeah, because I have a book and I keep all the addresses in there from like Germany to now. And I think I have like 20 different addresses. But yeah, moving is like the best thing if you're trying to get rid of things. If it's chipped or, you know, damaged, it goes out on the curb or to Goodwill, you know, for whatever purpose. But yeah, I always do that. And I don't like clutter. So hopefully that I will remain that way so that I don't have to do a whole lot of purging once I retire.
Well, you know, I was also told that if you look at everything, every item that you have and say, does this bring joy to my heart?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can honestly say yes, then keep it. And mm-hmm. if you say no, then get rid of it. And that's yeah. really all there is to it.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
You got to be able to let go, Elsa.
right.
Let it go, baby.
Right. So if anyone needs any decluttering tips, you can reach out to Debbie. she can give you additional tips.
Oh, yeah. I read up on a lot of that stuff, too.
Oh, yeah?
There's another one. There's one that I read up on. It's called the 30-30-30 rule. 30-30-30 rule.
Uh-huh.
You pick out 30 articles of clothing that you really, really love, including the shoes and the accessories. That's okay. it, just 30. And in 30 days, you have to wear every single piece at least uh-huh. once. And then in the next 30 days, whatever you don't wear goes away.
Mm-hmm.
It's 30, 30, 30. And I don't know if I can do that. I mean, I'm probably down to 80, 80, 80, but
yeah,
not
yeah.
30, 30, 30.
I make little pacts like if I still have this hanging in my closet by my next move and I have not worn it, it goes away. Cause
I have
then...
an idea for you.
Go ahead.
Turn the hanger around.
Uh-huh.
Turn the hangers around on January the 1st.
Okay.
By January the 1st of next year, any hanger that's still facing you, you know, the hook facing you,
yes.
that goes to Goodwill. It
oh,
means
like
in one
that.
Year you never wore it.
Yeah, I like that.
And I do that. I do that.
Have you always done that?
Huh?
You've always done that?
I've always done that. I've been doing that for 5 years now. And so now that I'm retired, you know, I've got some nice, you know, business clothes
right.
that I don't wear. So what I've been doing is, like this shirt right here, I call it my hippie glitter shirt.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I'm going to wear it. I'm not going to wear a t-shirt. I'm going to wear something cute
because
I'm going to be on, you know, Vanessa's podcast.
right.
And I don't have the opportunity to always dress up because I don't go anywhere.
Right.
So when I go shopping, I wear dresses. I wear cute little pants. I wear my dress clothes. And I know my husband, he thinks, you know, I'm whack, but he gets it. He knows that I'm trying to wear my clothes because I don't want my hanger to be facing towards me in 1 year.
Right.
I want that hanger to be the other way.
Yeah.
So that way I know I've been wearing it and I'm going to keep it. So,
yeah, that's a great way of, you know, kind of tracking or knowing. Yeah. I'll definitely have to start doing that. We're not too far off from the new year. So I'll definitely keep that in mind.
There you go.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's see. So is there anything you know that you wish you'd known as a young adult that could have helped you prepare better?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's back to, you know, just saving money and, you know, not buying so many things, not thinking that I need stuff. I don't need it. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a huge difference between want and need, as we know, but, you know, do
yeah.
you really, really need something? Is there purpose, you know? And I've accumulated so much over the years, and I wish that I was, you know, I wish that I had that minimalist mindset like I do now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more, you know, that I was a lot more frugal back then because less is more. Now, my husband, Tom, he's always had this attitude, and we've been married for 20 years. And so I'm finally following in his footsteps. You know, it took me a while,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, he's the one that will never buy a new pair of shoes unless that pair of tennis shoes has a blowout and it's completely
mm-hmm.
gone and it's time to buy a new one, you know? And I've also been told that if you buy an article of clothing, get rid of an article of clothing. If you buy a pair of shoes, you got to get rid of a pair of shoes, you know? And, but do you really need it? That's just,
yeah.
It,
yeah.
You know, and just save your money.
Yeah. It's,
I wish I'd have done that.
Yeah. You know, I think that it's like also, I mean, we're like fed so many commercials and advertisement
mm-hmm.
and it makes you believe that you need whatever article it may be or
mm-hmm.
item. And then, you know, even I know some people that like start shopping early for Christmas
mm-hmm.
and then actually Christmas the season, the holiday season comes around, and now there's all these new things that they're launching, and now they're buying even more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the purpose of like kind of starting early to shop, really, like, there is no purpose, right? Or I mean,
it defeats the purpose if you're going to buy more stuff at Christmas.
But it's you know, realtors, they know, and they're, you know, they're learning us through social media platforms and stuff, and they know exactly what to say or how to sell the items to you. So you just really have to like be strong-willed and say, no, I do not need that, or my child does not need that.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, because children and toys, you know, you can really get carried away with that.
Well, you know, and I did, when I was younger, as a new grandparent, my first granddaughter, Ayla, I just went crazy, and whatever she wanted, and I would see things and clothing and toys, and I would buy.
Mm-hmm.
I kept a lot of it though. And when the second one, when Leah was born, I was like, thank goodness I still have all this stuff. But then I thought, well, she's, you know, maybe I'm cheating her out of new stuff. But I wasn't, because what I had was still in good condition.
Yeah.
And it was still popular. Mm-hmm. And I would still buy the little one stuff, but every year I have a budget. I have a goal. It's a limit. I only spend $600 for Christmas. That's it. $600. Both my girls get $100 each worth of stuff, whatever it is. And that's it. And then, Tom has a daughter and a son, and they get $100 each. And then my daughter and son-in-law, they get 100. So there's 2, 4, there's 5 right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then I take a $100 bill and I carry it around with me during the holiday season. And if I come across someone, a total stranger who I've never met, who I feel for some reason or another is in need of money, of something charitable, I surprise them. I give them a $100 bill. It's because, you know, I'm already giving the people in my family something.
Yeah.
Now it's time for me to give somebody outside of my family something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just
I love that
time of year, you know?
Yeah.
I do every single year, the $100 bill. And it could be anybody. I could be anywhere. I could be grocery shopping, or, you know, at the gas station. I could be anywhere.
So tell me, because this is off subject, but I want to know like some of the reactions that you've received.
I'll tell you one.
Okay.
So I was in Birmingham, Alabama at the residence in UAB, and I was teaching a service of memorable class.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so there were some participants. They were associates from some of the other residents in classes, and they came there for the training. And I had my $100 bill in my purse. Well, there was this one young lady. And she came to me after the class was over with, and she, you know, just wanted to commend me for my energy and my enthusiasm and for getting her all pumped up and teaching her the culture and, you know, how to be the best associate and how to treat, you know, our guests.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, sometimes it's really hard when you're down on your luck, you know, and she said, I've been, I think she had mentioned something about she had just moved into a new apartment because her boyfriend was abusive and this, that, and the other. And just her telling me that story, I knew right away, she's the one who needs the money, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I said, well, I thanked her so much and, you know, just said, you know, if you want to pray, I'll pray with you and this, that, and the other. And I said, and by the way, I said, I do have something for you. And she goes, you do? And I said, yeah. I said, come here for a second. And I went in my wallet, you know, my purse, and I had a $100 bill. And I said, I want you to have a Merry Christmas. She goes, oh, no, no, Miss Debbie, I can't take that. I said, oh, no, you have to take it. I said, you cannot refuse it. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, because this is something that I do every single year. And you are chosen. You are the one that I have chosen to do this for. You have to take it. She says, oh, okay, I will. I said, thank you. I said, thanks. I said, because, I need to give it to you. And
yeah.
So those are the kind of reactions that I get. I get just, you know, surprised. People are surprised. They're like, wow, I didn't think people do this anymore. I heard about people doing this, but I didn't think they really did, you know. And Vanessa, I don't do it for me, okay?
Yeah.
I really, really don't.
Right.
It's, I want peace in this world. And sometimes, you know, we can only do what we can do. And if I can give somebody a little bit of peace, then that's what I want to do. So be it.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that unfortunately, you know, financial problems are probably the biggest, like, the biggest, I can't think of the English word right now.
It's like a stumbling block or.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it weighs heavy on people. It causes, you know.
Depression, everything.
Depression. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anxiety, all kinds of things. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. You know, I always thought that one day if I ever hit the lottery, you know, if I ever play consistently enough, I would love to, like, bless people like that, like surprise them, you know, with things that
me too,
necessities and stuff. Like, yeah, I oftentimes, you know, when I drive around the city or, you know, when I travel to or from work, I always observe people and I've given strangers, you know, I'll look in my purse. I don't always carry cash, but, you know, there's a lot of homeless people in Atlanta. Yes. And so some, you know, some are questionable, but some are truly, truly need help. And I'll, you know, I see them almost daily. And so I just observe them. And if I have money to give, I definitely will, you know. And I just love seeing that smile on their face and that little glimpse of hope or, you know, knowing that you just fed somebody for a day or two, you know. That. And I've also given just, you know, I'm like, I don't have any cash, but I can give you some bottles of water. And, you know, they get really excited about anything, really, you give them.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, every time I was on Spring Street and there's that traffic light on the left-hand side there, because I would have to make a left, there was a Vietnam War veteran. Mm-hmm. And he was there in a wheelchair. And he always had his uniform on and he had a sign and he said, you know, homeless veteran. And every single time I would stop, I would be right there where he was and roll down my window. And I got to know his name.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so long ago, I can't remember it right now. But we would talk, you know, while the light was red. And I said, what do you need? What do you need more than anything? He goes, I just need a pack of smokes. And I said, you want a pack of smokes? He goes, yeah, I want a pack of smokes. And I said, what else you need? He goes, you know, just maybe a $10 bill and, you know, maybe a bottle of Pepsi or something. I said, all right, all right. I said, so, you know, so the next day I go back to work, you know, and I'd get him his pack of smokes. And I think they were Newports. I think that's what he said. They were Newports. And I got him his pack of smokes and I got him a bottle of Pepsi out of the market. You know, I bought one for him. And I always had, you know, some cash on me. So I gave him $20, you know, and he's like, well, God bless you. God bless you. You're the best. He was always there. Now, not every day could I give him something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he would say, no, I'm going to remember you. You're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. You know, and I'm like, I'm not doing it to go to heaven, even though I hope I do. But, you know, it's just, I don't know, when you've got a big heart and you really feel about people, it's just, it's so important.
Yeah, I think that's why the brand resonated so much with me, or I resonated with the brand, you know, the whole Pleasant Surprise initiative.
Yes,
I loved that. Oh, my God. And even as I moved into, you know, other brands, I always carried that with me. I love doing Pleasant Surprises for guests or associates, you know, you name it. That was like my favorite thing to do. Even as a GM, I would like, you know, listen in to conversations. And if I had, you know, listen for cues. And then, you know, I had gone around, I was at a courtyard and I was going around talking to guests at breakfast and this family was visiting from out of town and they were going to the Georgia Aquarium and stuff. And I was like, so what time are you leaving? I was just like fishing for information. They're like, oh, in about 10 minutes. And I ran to my office and bought them like an e-certificate for the gift shop at the aquarium. And I ran back, I put it in an envelope and I tried to get everybody to sign whoever was around. And then I just like gave it to them, you know, 10 minutes later, right before they left. And they were like, wow, thank you. Like it was so unexpected. But yeah, I love doing that. I think that if I was a rich person, I would probably do that like every single day. I would find little things to enhance people's just days or lives.
I'm with you. I think I would probably just go to different places and coffee shops and just sit around and just eavesdrop on conversation. Just to have that opportunity to get a reaction, right? To make somebody's day. I think that's the biggest thing. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, it's definitely something I miss. So I, you know, I do it for my family too, because they love it. You know, it's you know, that thoughtful thing. Yeah.
Surprise them with something. They're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. All right. So I got sidetracked again. I could talk to you all day, Debbie. It's been so long.
It has.
Okay, let's see. So how have you occupied your free time? Talk about being all those fun things that you have been since you've been retired.
So last year when I got the news that I was going to be furloughed, I started making a list of home projects. That was the first thing. Mm-hmm. And so Tom, my husband, and I, we worked on these until they were completed. And then this year, you know, we kind of worked on some more different projects, just getting things done. So I'm a collector of many things, but I don't hoard, and I have been purging, but I'm a stamp and a coin collector. Okay. So what I did was I spent some time organizing my collections and condensing them into something that was a little bit more manageable. But during the summers, I spent all my time with my two granddaughters, and that's basically all I do, that and gardening. So I'm either in my garden or I'm with them, or they're with me and they're here with me at my house. I did that last summer and this summer too. And of course, you know, every summer in the future, that's all we do is spend time together. So when the girls go back to school, that's when I break out the paints and the brushes. And yeah, I usually have about three of them going on at one time. I like variety. I get excited about painting something. So I like to have, you know, more than one to work on. And I've been doing a lot of photography as well. So I've been photographing my work. And I want to turn them into greeting cards eventually and have a line of blank note cards, you know? That's something in the near future that I'll be working on. I just haven't found a printing company right now that suits my taste. So it's a work in progress. But my Facebook page under albums and Debbie's art, it shows all the paintings that I've completed since last year. And I didn't really start until after I retired in August, you know, and then since 2010, I've been illustrating children's books, which was my first book, Ayla by the Sea, which was published. And then I've written and illustrated two more books after that, Lily and Grace and Leah's Magic Apple Tree. And I've sent them all to you.
Yes, I've got some of them. So I want to tell you that I have actually purchased some of them from you. Well, I know that I did Ayla.
Yeah, you did in the past. I remember that.
Ayla by the Sea. So when I was unboxing or opening your gift, my youngest daughter, Mia, was like, oh my God, Ayla by the Sea. And so I was like, you remember, she's 14. She's 14 almost. So I was like, you remember that book? And she was like, yes, I love that book. So, That's so I want to kind of put it in the camera to see. So our viewers can see all the awesome books that you've either written or illustrated. And how can our viewers or listeners get a hold of your books, Debbie?
The best way to do it is go to my website. It's The Byrd Gallery, THEBYRDGALLERY. Yep.
Flashing them in the camera. Just a second.
And you've got one of the bookmarks. So it has the website on there. And I prefer
having the screen too.
I prefer that people go to the website, and the reason why is because I can connect with them and ask them if they would like me to autograph the books, and then I can sign them as well. Now, all the books are on Amazon, but once it gets on Amazon, if they purchase it through Amazon, I can't do that. I don't know who's buying, you know?
Yeah.
And here's another thing too. Any of my books and even my paintings that people purchase, I give a portion of the proceeds to Children's Miracle Network. So I can't do that if you buy the books on Amazon, because first of all, I don't know who you are. And secondly, I only get, now I'm forgetting what the word is. I get a small amount of the money. I can't even remember
percentage?
Just a small percentage of what they have purchased. And no, there's a certain word for it, the certain name. And it'll come to me here in a moment, even though I'm still drinking a lot of green tea. See, that's why I have to drink it for those brain cells. But just reach out to me or go on my website, actually, and purchase the books there, and you can.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I love these little, what do you call these, Debbie? It's like the little
seed paper. It's seed paper. They're shaped like houses, and they have wildflower seeds in them. And they could just plant them in the ground, and wildflower seeds will grow through it. Royalty, that's what I meant. I get royalties from Amazon. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a lot, and so I can't really give back anything to CMN.
While working, you actually won several awards for fundraising activities. Have you thought about how you can continue those efforts, and do you have any projects you're currently working on that others can support?
Well, you know, for as long as I can remember, I've been working with organizations that do charitable work. I mean, it's just forever. I'm passionate about all of them. However, I spent most of my time with Children's Miracle Network these past 13 years. So when the pandemic hit, it was obvious that I would have to put the annual Duck Dash, you know, we did our annual Duck Dash with Marriott, on hold because it required a tremendous amount of engagement, you know, between the hotel associates and the guest. And, you know, last year hotels were suffering and some were closing their doors and associates were being laid off. Also, I needed Whitewater Park in Marietta as the venue, and they closed their doors during the pandemic. So I waited this year to see how the hotels were doing and if Whitewater would reopen. And, you know, there's really a lot of turnover with GMs, and most of them, I just don't know. And many of the hotels were sold to other companies.
Yeah.
And of course, Whitewater, you know, they closed their Lazy River where we would have the Duck Dash race. So I decided to do something else to give back. Last year around April, just before April, I had actually completed a Duck Dash coloring activity book. Now, it hasn't been published yet. However, my goal is to move forward with this in the near future and then market it to businesses, restaurants, hotels, schools, friends, you know, et cetera. And then a portion of the proceeds will go to Children's Miracle Network. And, you know, currently I've been giving back in another way. And that is I surprise my friends with paintings.
I love that. Tell us more about it.
Okay. So I, you know, I love trolling through Facebook, and my friends are always posting these beautiful landscape pictures of, you know, their happy place and this, that, and the other. And my friend Ken Ramsey had posted a picture of his happy place. He loves to go to Alatoona Lake on Red Top Mountain, and he's always taking these pictures of the lake. Well, he posted a bunch of them last month, and I liked one of them. Well, I liked them all, but there was one that just caught my eye because I get inspiration from other people's images, from their photos. And so I printed it out and I said, I'm going to paint this. And Ken has no idea. He is not going to know. We're going to meet up for lunch and I'm going to give it to him. All right. I almost had him in tears. We met up for lunch last week and on Monday, last week on Monday. He had no idea. He sees me bringing this in, right? It's just, you know, it's 11 by 14. And it's wrapped up in Christmas paper because I don't have any other paper. And, you know, why buy it if you don't need to?
Right.
And so I said, this is for you. And he said, what? He goes, I don't have anything for you. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, that's not the point. I said, just take something, you know, without having to give something back.
Yeah.
He opened it up. He said, oh my goodness. He goes, this is my happy place. I said, how do you feel? He goes, I feel great. He said, I will always look at this and I will always feel wonderful. You just put joy in my heart. I said, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
That is what I want to do. So I'm working on something right now. Do you see this?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. So this is from a picture right here.
Uh-huh.
That I got off of Facebook from a friend.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to tell you who the friend is.
Okay.
But she is going to be the recipient of this, and she has no idea that I'm doing it.
Wow, that you are so talented. Show me the original again. That looks like almost...
This is the picture. This is the...
Yeah, yeah.
That she posted. Now, yeah. This is on a beach in Connecticut.
Gotcha.
And her son-in-law, I believe it's her son-in-law, he took this photo, and she posted it on Facebook. So if she posted it on Facebook, you know she likes that picture, right?
Right.
Why would you post something if you didn't like it?
Right. Right.
And so I printed it out and said, I'm painting that. Not only did it inspire me, but it's a great way for me to practice. So, you know, doing rocks, you know, practice doing rocks. I'm good at clouds. I've been really good at doing clouds. I do a lot of clouds. But I want to practice doing rocks. And this woman, I've known her for, gosh, maybe 12 plus years. And she lives locally here.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been an inspiration to me. She's always been a kind-hearted, loving, wonderful person. And she's helped me because we worked together when I was with Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to give her something.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, those are ways of me giving back. So, you know, I always like to say, don't be surprised if one day, you know, I ask you, hey, what's your address? You know, and all of a sudden you get a painting from me, you know, but it would be something that, you know, it would be unexpected.
Right.
You know, it's just my way to show gratitude for our friendship and to give them something that they can always reflect on as their happy place, basically.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know? Yeah, I mean,
you don't have to always give money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for charity. You don't always have to volunteer for charity. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't charity, but this is giving back in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know? It's almost like, well, you're going to give them, you know, this a good feeling, peace. Right? Peace.
That's
right.
All I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peace, baby.
Love that.
That's all I want.
Right. I love
That's
it.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I
it's
love
a good
it.
Good feeling. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Love it's, it.
You're almost like a living Santa Claus.
Zen.
Yeah.
Mm. Living right. Santa Claus. I know.
Yeah.
Hey, don't tell those little kids it's Santa Claus.
Right. You know, I realized that there was, you know, I like to always send my attendees, you know, a list of questions that I ask them so that I don't blindside them or so that they can better prepare. And I see that you really thoroughly went through them. And so I really appreciate that. But one question that I did not note that I see that I like to ask everyone, and you may have caught that on my other recordings, is who inspires you and why?
My mother. She passed away 2 years ago unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so talented in so many ways. And she had the biggest heart and just loved, you know, to be around family. Her big thing was family.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I think about her, and she inspires me to this day. I feel that because of her love that she gave me and the talent that she had as an artist, because she was a painter as well, I can only live her legacy. I can only live on, you know, through just through her.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm a lot like her.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had her accent because she's German.
Mm-hmm.
And her German was fluent and mine is not. But this woman, when you say, you know, who's the sweetest or kindest person you've ever met, it was her. It was her. And she's my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm living even her life, you know, on
mm-hmm.
through everything that she is.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
She's my inspiration.
That's awesome.
She's actually in my studio here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I have her little urn up there with a picture of her and some flowers, and she's there. And
oh, I love it.
I take the duster and I dust it and I say, hello, Mom. I talk to her. I love
it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She's up here too. She's right up there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So she moved to the United States from Germany with your dad.
She did. Yeah, when she was 19 years old.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. She only knew Germany. And then my dad, you know, she met him because he mm-hmm. was on an army base. He was in the army.
Yeah.
And they got married, and then they moved from Bremerhaven
mm-hmm.
to the United States. Mm-hmm. And we lived here for about 4 years, and then my brother was born. And then we moved back to Germany, and we lived in Neue Ulm
mm-hmm.
and near Stuttgart.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for about 4 years, and then we moved back here to the United States. We lived in Fort Rucker, Alabama,
mm-hmm.
In Ozark. And then we would travel down to Pensacola all the time to build the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally retired in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you've had a very eventful life too.
Mm-hmm. I have.
Well, Debbie, this concludes actually all the questions I have for you. Do you have anything to add? Would you like? I do want you to mention if you have any social media handles that the listeners could follow, or if they, you know, want to check out your art. Is it open to the public, or is it restricted to just your Facebook friends?
Well, I only have Facebook. So mm-hmm. one thing I did last year, mm-hmm. because I wanted to minimize my amount of social media,
mm-hmm.
I actually deleted every single one of my social media accounts, all of them, except for Facebook.
Uh-huh.
My Facebook is only personal for friends, so they would have to reach out to me via my website.
Okay.
So if they want to, you know, people don't have to follow me, you know, through that, but like they can go on my website, thebirdgallery.com, and that's where you'll see a place to contact me. You'll see about me. There's my books and my paintings and things of that nature.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, perfect. So yeah. It's like a one-stop shop.
It is. It's just, mm-hmm. just go to the Bird Gallery. And if you want to know a little bit more about me, or if you just want to talk or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. I'll be free to connect with you and, you know, we can talk.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So we'll have that information displayed at the end. If you have nothing else to add, I want to thank you for your time. And I cannot wait for this to air so our fellow friends and old coworkers can see, you know, mm-hmm. what you've been up to for the last 2 years, the ones that are not connected with you on social media. But again, Debbie, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you joining me for my podcast.
Vanessa, I want to thank you. And thank you so much for the wonderful treats.
You're very welcome.
And it was a pleasure being here. And, you know, I love you, girl.
I love you, too.
And I miss you so much.
I miss you, too. I hope that we can soon hug. So I'm giving you a virtual hug.
One day. And good luck. I wish you all the best with all of your endeavors. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You, too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.